dear Abby, my feet are too long. My hair's falling out and my rights are all wrong. My friends, they all tell me that I've no friends at all. Won't you write me a letter? Won't you give me a call? Signed, B. Willard.
That John Prine could write a hit song called Dear Abby and have people understand what he was talking about is just one indication of the power of the real Dear Abby. Dear Abby and Ann Landers, the twin advice columnists, created the genre of what you might call industrial advice publishing. Tips for better living, handed out by total strangers and read by millions of people around the world. Pauline Phillips, alias Abigail Van Buren, alias Dear Abby, died yesterday at age 94. Here she is speaking on Larry King back in 1990.
I just went to the Chronicle in San Francisco. I just really gussed my way in. And I said, you know, I could do a much better column than this Mayfield person that you've got here. He said, well, what do you do? I said, I'm a Hillsborough housewife. I didn't have a Social Security number. I'd never worked a day of my life. And I worked for the UJA and the United Crusade.
So what did he have you do, answer letters?
He said, yes. He brought the letters back, and he said, now you use the letters put to her, strike out the answers, and write in your own and bring them back in about a week. Got behind a typewriter, and I went to work.
Well, her work and the work of her twin sister is Ann Landers created the landscape for all sorts of emotional know-it-alls, from Dr. Joyce Brothers to Dr. Drew, Dan Savage, Dr. Phil. Joining us now is Carolyn Hacks, writer and columnist for The Washington Post and author of the advice column. Carolyn Hacks, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Does any advice columnist writing today, even Dr. Phil, owe some sort of debt to what these ladies created on some level?
Every single one of us owes a huge debt. You didn't have to read them or like them to understand that they put this whole profession into the culture to the extent that you just, it's there like the air you breathe. And it's a strange thing. I mean, you said it really well, the emotional know-it-all. Why are we even allowed to do what we do? It's kind of silly and strange. But because these two were so popular that we're now accepted as just a normal part of a newspaper or a magazine or a radio lineup.
I'm wondering if part of what made them so popular is this idea in prudish American culture of the mid-20th century that there needed to be some mechanism for giving people permission to talk about things that they just couldn't talk about anywhere else. And so these ladies and Dear Abby was it.
Exactly. And I think there's always been a place for the stranger, somebody you can talk to, where your secrets won't come back at you. And I don't know that our society has always had a place for that. I mean, the small town situation is everybody knows everything about your business. And so there is no stranger that you can talk to. Again, it's a lousy delivery method, because if you write a letter to one of these columns, chances are you're not going to get answered. But I think it got to the point where the act of writing it was often enough just to feel like you were talking to somebody.
You know, it's such a great American institution, a Catholic notion of confession, co-opted by a couple of Jewish ladies from San Francisco and then hyper sort of, inflated by the media.
That's true. It's sort of the Catholic confessional. But there was actually, I know that the in Jewish newspapers, there was an advice column predating the sisters. And so it is actually, their being Jewish actually has some, there's some basis in the tradition.
So what do you think? I mean, I've sort of enumerated some of the so-called emotional know-it-alls who have gone on. But in terms of newspapers, who writes to advice columns today?
That's the thing, isn't it? Who actually writes to an advice column? You know, another development is now something that wasn't available to Dear Abby and Ann Landers is you have the online comment section where people can write whatever they want about the person who wrote in and about the advice. And there's this underlying skepticism of anybody who would write into one of these things. It's like they're automatically suspect. Well, you know, they wrote into an advice column, so what does that say about them? And, you know, of course, I love them all. I love everybody who writes into an advice column. But I think despite that skepticism, I think it's just often it's sort of an impulse buy. I think it's a lot of first timers. A lot of people think, you know what, I'm just going to hit send on this and see what happens.
Well, I think, you know, in some ways with social media, everything is morphing into an advice column. And we do have in part Dear Abby to thank for all of that. Carolyn Hacks, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Carolyn Hacks is a writer and columnist for The Washington Post and author of the advice column, Carolyn Hacks.
Dear Abby, my fountain pen leaks. My wife.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.